Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, and I'm here, as always, with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
So it's great. So today we're going to talk about kids' media and finding media for your kids that isn't terrible, meaning TV shows, movies, books, podcasts, audiobooks, all of that. We're not going to talk so much about managing your kids' media time because that's like a whole different ball of wax. We're more going to talk about kind of the process of finding great stuff for your kids to watch and listen and read, especially in these middle years where I am, where they're not quite ready to find their own stuff, but they're getting older and kind of ready for something beyond, you know, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood or whatever. So I think this is going to be a fun topic. And as always, I look to you for a preview of the years ahead.
That's of coming. Yes. And so, I look to you for a flashback of what things were like in the Caillou days.
PBS shows.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. But before we launch in, I would love for you to give a little update about some things you've been working on in the podcastosphere.
The podcastosphere. Diving in with both feet. Well, the network, the Life Listened Network, launched a new show last week called Life Work, and it is a show that is about designing your life and building a business. So if you have any interest in either of those two things, you definitely should check it out. It's at lifeworkpodcast.com. It's actually kind of funny. A local entrepreneur and I named Dave have been having, you know, like quarterly lunches for, I don't know, like 5 years now. And we would always try to come up with something we could work on together, but our businesses are pretty different, so there really was never a good fit. And then one day we were talking about podcasting and I said, well, did you, because he's got a great radio voice and radio background and a lot of great insight about business stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm more on the life end. But so anyway, we ended up having a conversation. I said, well, let's just do a podcast. So we've been working on it for a long time. It is a daily show. So if you you are a hungry consumer of content and...
Or like a daily commuter. I feel like the people who commute would love that idea of a quick daily
show.
It's
pretty quick. Like most episodes are no longer than 20 minutes, except for every Thursday we do an interview. And that has been like between 50 minutes and an hour. And we've had some great interviews lined up and we cover a weekly theme. So we kind of take you through like a little journey. You know, we start the week off kind of introducing the theme and then talk about like Tuesdays. We kind of internally call that like all the T's, like tips, tricks, tools, techniques, like all those T words. And then Wednesday, it gets a little more just touchy-feely. We dive into something. Thursday, there's an interview. And then Friday, we wrap up. And it's great if you like that continuity of having the same people. You know how you really get into like a show or something?
Like a morning show.
And you want more. It's like those people become part of your day. So Dave and I want to become part of your day. So
It's cool. And I've been listening a little bit. And I just to kind of add to what you've said, I think it's perfect for if you're a small business owner or just if you have those, like, you know, some people just have that entrepreneurial interest and itch and like to think about how to, you know, start their own business or improve the business, even if you are an employee, but just, so it's a little bit of like motivational stuff, a little bit of management, a little bit of like, you know, life goals and life planning and a little bit of money stuff. And it's kind of all of that wrapped
into. It's all of that. And one of our big goals is to talk about how you build yourself as a person while you're building a business so that you have that balance. And so, that's the show. We've loved it so far. We're having a really good time working on it and I hope it shows.
Again, that's lifeworkpodcast.com. You can also go to lifelisten.com, which is the whole network. And check it out there. But I'm sure some of our listeners are also in that sphere or friends who are. So.
And I don't have to tell you all because, Sarah, you and I have hammered this, how much ratings and reviews help.
Yes.
They really do, especially like in the first few weeks of a podcast. That's really how you get attention in the network. And then like on iTunes, that's really how you get, you know, you kind of rise through the ranks and maybe get on one of the new and noteworthy lists and stuff like that, which really helped us when that happened to us. Thank you to all of you that helped that happened for us. So.
Yay. So, well, congrats. That's an exciting new venture.
So I have nothing to add to our weekly, you know, regular
what you've been doing
becoming regular. Yeah. What we're doing and what's going on in my house this week is I just launched a new podcast and John and I, you know, because John works on these with me, it's very much been a team effort. So I have to give him a big shout out.
I don't know how you did that when your kids were on spring break, but that's maybe.
Yeah. It was terrible timing. I don't know what we stayed up really late a couple nights and just knocked it out, but
Yeah. Very cool. We're excited. All right. Well, let's dive in here. So once again, I brought up this topic. I kind of brought it to you because I feel like I'm kind of in a transition place with my kids and the media they consume. So I'm talking about movies and TV. I'm also talking about books, audiobooks, podcasts. My kids do listen to a couple podcasts. And music. And that is that my older two are definitely like aging out of truly little kid books, movies, and TV shows. But they're also getting like their own kind of individual interests. And they're, I think, kind of ready to have great media to support the other things they're interested in. Allegra's really into cooking all of a sudden. So we found a cool like cooking competition show that she loves. So kind of like to start to integrate the media that they consume into like who they are. Does that make sense? As opposed to just plop your butt on the couch and watch Curious George.
Be passively entertained. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, well, you and I are both very enthusiastic consumers of all kinds of media. You and I both love TV and we love music and we love to read. And so I'm kind of seeing my kids start to get to that place, which is really fun. On the other hand, they're not old enough. And I'm talking about Allegra and Reed, who are about to turn 8 and 6. And they're not quite ready to just get on and Google and find their own stuff.
No, that's a bad idea. Don't do that.
And they, you know, while we go to the library and we look together and they definitely find their own books, they still need me, or I still would like to be involved in kind of shepherding them toward decent stuff. Yeah. So we're going to talk about all of that, but I think that's why this topic came up for me. And so I think it's going to be fun to talk about. And I want to say also at the outset that this, we're not talking about like screen time and how much your kids watch.
I don't want to talk about that.
We're not going there. That's like a different topic. Yeah. It's like too big. It just depends too much on
exactly
the age of your kids and your family.
And I have to say that's one of those topics too, where like my ideal and my reality are so far apart from each other that, I mean, I would almost feel sheepish talking about it right this moment because I have not got that under control for myself. So.
Well, yeah, and it's so highly dependent on the day, the week, the month, the family, the kid, the age. So anyway, so we are not talking about how you manage screen time in your house. We're talking about how to find good stuff for your kids to watch, listen, and read. So I kind of wanted to just set that up. And I think I have some good tips, but then I also want to hear from you. So maybe we can start with TV and movies because that's kind of an easy place to start. I guess one of the things I'm finding is that my kids are bored by what used to be like go to, you know, guaranteed sit on the couch for an hour movies, but they're not necessarily quite ready, or not all of them, for the next level. So have you seen, I mean, I'm sure that transition happened in your house many times at the ages of your kids, but maybe just talk about what your kids are watching now, or how that worked when they were little, or what Clara's getting into as the youngest.
There's a big transition right now, I have to say. So the older kids, this is like a really big topic too, but I'm just going to break it down as much as I can.
Yeah.
So the older three, I feel like, have been on a very similar TV trajectory for a while, which is okay sometimes. But, you know, my oldest is 18 and my middle child is 12. He is beyond like anything kid-like, right? So that's all done. And I kind of wrestled for a while with letting him watch more adult programming with the bigger kids. Like, they all got really into Arrested Development and The Office. I knew there was stuff in there that kind of was, a little, like, kind of skirts the edge.
Right.
But I have to tell you, I sat one day and watched what is available to teens and tweens. Mm-hmm. And I decided I would rather have William watch a quality show that's a little on the edge than the crap that is out there that's aimed at kids, because it's not really any better. They don't necessarily touch on racy themes as much, but there's just like an attitude issue. I'm becoming kind of like my mom. I remember my mom really hated the show Home Improvement. Remember that show?
Yeah,
because she didn't like the snotty teenage kids. And like, I remember thinking that was the most ridiculous thing. Like, Mom, come on, just whatever. It's how kids are. But recently I was watching that show and I thought, oh, she's right. It was like the late 80s and early 90s. It was kind of the rise of the snotty teenage. Mm-hmm. And now they're all like that. And they're all so worldly wise. They all know better than their parents. And there's always like an exception. There was one actually, I want to say Selena Gomez was on it. It's kind of older. Was that the one? Like, it was this nice family and the parents were in charge, and I was kind of like, and you know, of course she was like a rock star or something. I don't remember. I've only seen it a couple of times, or maybe she was like a magical witch. I don't remember. Anyway, I'm not into this genre of TV, but there's always exceptions to the rule, but I have to say, right, by and away, like, I cannot stand what is on the television between 2 o'clock and, like, you know, 7 o'clock, right, aimed at teens and tweens. So, right, we've skipped it, just, yeah, completely skipped it. And I'm fine with that. Clara is in this completely different place right now. She watches a lot of kid kid stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, I was hoping you were, yeah, going to talk about this because we haven't really gotten into it, but I know it's a big
– Well, I have thing. To say I kind of pointed her in that direction because when, mm-hmm, she was maybe 5, she started really getting into shows like My Little Pony and stuff, which are just, mm-hmm, silly and they're fine. Yeah. And I never right. – they actually kind of have fun music. But I thought, well, I don't want her just – like you said, I don't want her just sitting there passively absorbing – these storylines. I would rather she was like looking for things that interest her. And she, mm-hmm, got really into, well, for a while she was really into the unboxing videos, which, yeah, is the one where they just open toys and stuff. Like, that's,
yeah,
it.
Okay. Just take a real pause because if you, if, yeah, people don't know what this is, and I didn't for a while, can you explain this phenomenon? Yeah. Because it is so, okay, crazy that
people,
this is,
people buy
thing.
Stuff and they open it. End of story. I mean, yeah. On YouTube. I mean, that's it. You get your stuff.
But then kids really like to watch
kids
it.
Kids love it. You know, it, I, for a while, thought it was so goofy. And then the more I watched, the more I kind of got it. Because when you're a kid, I mean, think about, yeah, Christmas watching morning. Think about, yeah, Christmas morning. And so much of that joy is really just watching the unboxing. And so you're just, yeah, watching another person. And I have to say, I don't – Clara never – it wasn't like that then led to her – it wasn't like when we went from having no commercial TV for a while to then having – because, right, we would play the, like, cable discount game and we would – we would get cable during the winter when they'd give us a great discount because we hadn't had it for a while. And then we'd get busy and we'd cancel. And then, mm-hmm, you know, like 4 or 5 months later, we'd call back and say, oh, well, we're thinking about maybe getting basic. And then they'd always offer us,
right,
some. So anyway, for there, we would have long periods of time and all we would watch is Netflix. So the kids never, mm-hmm, saw commercials. And then suddenly there'd be TV on in the house. Yeah. And I could tell within like a day a noticeable,
yeah,
difference.
Yeah.
They would all of a sudden be begging for, yeah, everything. I mean, I remember Owen one time crying because he wanted tap lights so badly. You know, those are like, it's like a made, mm-mm, it's like an infomercial thing, like as seen, okay, on TV. They're like literally lights that you put in your driveway or on, yeah, your, yeah, yeah, you know, on the sidewalk in front of your house. And then you just kind of like tap the top and they turn on. He wanted those and a chocolate fountain, like really bad. Like he wouldn't leave. And he can be very stubborn and he's like a dog with a bone. So he would be up in my face constantly asking for a chocolate fountain and a tap light. So that's just an example. But so one thing that's interesting is with the unboxing, I have to say I didn't notice Clara getting wanting that like need, stuff. Need, yeah, need more, more, more. She got more specific about the stuff she wanted. Like she really got into Littlest Pet Shop, mm-hmm, unboxing videos because there's a million Littlest Pet Shops.
Right.
So she got kind of specific about the kinds of stuff she liked. But I feel like this is going to sound stupid, but like, I feel like watching someone else open and play with it kind of scratched the itch, yeah, for her a little bit.
Yeah.
And she didn't need it then herself. Yeah. So that was unexpected. The other thing that was kind of cool is via that, she got into modding, they call it. So they take a, you know, Littlest Pet Shop and, okay, some people get really into this. Like they'll heat up the joints and make them, put them in different poses and stuff. Okay. But Clara Moore got into like painting, like she'd paint them with nail polish.
Okay.
And given like different looks and there were like little tutorials on how to do that. Okay. And it reminded me when I was a little, you know, maybe 10, 11, 12, a friend of mine and I were really into Briar horses. Remember those?
Mm-mm.
They're like little plastic horse models. They're, okay, kind of expensive. I never had more than maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But she had them all over her room and there, if you got past a certain level of collecting, often you became a modder. And so, okay, you... Now, in those days, there was no internet, so you would get these handwritten newsletters. It was like the days of zines. Remember those?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you'd get these, and they would tell you how to, like, take this one model of a horse and bend its front, you know, its foreleg so that it was standing in a different position or, like, change out its hair. I mean, there was ways, lots of ways. Right. It's amazing. Right. I mean, there was lots of ways to do it, and it was actually kind of a cool hobby. It was very wholesome and,
yeah,
fun, and that's kind of how I saw Clara's little obsession, yeah, for a while,
yeah,
with those unboxing videos. Here's the problem. Her unboxing YouTube habit, I got feeling a little too confident and comfortable with it because the videos she was watching, she'd usually be sitting next to me on the couch or the bed or whatever, and I'd watch over her shoulder and it was all very sweet and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got into some – oh, and she also started making like her own little Play-Doh animals and stuff, which I thought was really fun and cute, uh-huh, and artistic. But then she kind of fell down this rabbit hole with personalities who do both children's programming on YouTube and – not really children's programming. So It's not that the stuff that's for older, you know, for not for kids is terrible. It's not like, you know, they're not dropping right. F-bombs. And she knows yeah. right away, like, because sometimes stuff slips through even the YouTube filters. Yeah. So she knows if she hears a cuss word, she turns it off and she's never allowed to watch that one again. And she's very, you know, she's really conscientious diligent. About that, yeah. which is great. But some of the stuff, it's not that it's unclean. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's not stuff I really want her watching.
Yeah.
And I've had to really crack down. For example, because there's stuff that she's hearing that she's saying and repeating that there's really no way she ever would have heard that
yeah.
through from me yeah. or any
yeah.
media that I would have on in the house. Like a couple weeks ago, we went to the pool with my family and she asked my sister and my sister's boyfriend if her thighs looked fat in her swimsuit.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, it's possible she heard this from a kid at school, but not real likely in first grade. Yeah. I mean, it's possible, yeah. but not real likely. I would never say that. None of my friends right. would ever mention right. anything like that. Right. We would never watch TV with her that would have that kind yeah. of messaging. So yeah. I kind of feel like
yeah.
maybe she was watching a yeah. lot of the same kind of people often who watch the unboxing videos like to watch, oh my gosh, I can't even remember what they're called, play-alongs or something, walkthroughs. It's like when someone plays a video game and someone else watches.
Yeah.
Same concept.
That's a thing too. I don't know and what it's called.
Yes. I'll think of it, I'm sure. So she's watched a few of those and I think some of those people kind of skirt the line between some yeah. that are aimed at kids and some that aren't. And yeah. even the ones that are clean, I've just heard them say things like that I'm just not really comfortable with her hearing. So right. it's become kind of a challenge because she's got right. a lot of autonomy and I want her to be able to pick stuff that she likes and right. that's interesting to her.
Right.
And some of the stuff that's aimed at really littler kids is boring and not very entertaining. Yeah. And I don't, yeah. you know, I don't blame her for not wanting to watch babyish stuff at 7. And, you know, especially 7 is the new 13, right? So, or yeah, 7 is the new 13. I was going to say, is it 13 is the new 7? No, absolutely not. It's the other way around. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm in a challenging place with that mm-hmm. right now. The good thing is she kind of knows what's not okay. And
right.
she's pretty good about asking and letting me know yeah. if she's changing things up or, you know, it's not a free right. for all. And we made that mistake with the older kids where we thought we had a filter on.
Yeah.
And they went down. They were like watching SpongeBob episodes. And there are some very sick people out there who have taken children's programming. And actually, it can be very funny. Like they'll dub it over with, you know, right. terrible stuff, but yeah. they don't mark it
right.
as explicit.
So it looks like, yeah, it looks like
yeah.
it's the same. Yeah.
And often there'll be just enough of a length of clip before the bad stuff that you don't even mm-hmm. know. Like if you're watching mm-hmm. with your kid for a mm-hmm. minute, you'll be like, oh, this is Caillou. And then
oh,
a minute in, it goes really wrong. And I remember one of my kids, it wasn't Claire, this was a long time ago, bringing me the iPad or whatever with this look on their face, like, Mom, I don't think, it must have been William. I don't think I was supposed to see this. So, you know, that stuff is, I feel like we can, obviously, we have a lot of control.
Yeah.
But there does come a point where, like, some of that stuff is probably going to slip through. And it,
yeah.
I still feel like the benefit of us taking control and letting the kids choose a lot of their media and sort of directing it via Netflix or whatever has been worth it over just passively having the TV on, which we never right. do anymore. I right. can't even remember the last time the TV was just on unless it was, like, the one night of the week I got to just have HDTV, you know, HDTV or Food right. Network on for no reason. It would be right. me. It would never be right. the kids anymore. They right. just don't watch TV that way anymore. So,
right. right.
Yeah. I don't know. So that was a very, very long-winded. I think I just talked for 10 straight minutes, but.
No, it's so interesting. And it's so different than when you and I were
yeah.
growing up. Well, I guess I have just a couple of like thoughts or tips on how we've tried to find movies and TV that the older two will actually like when they're kind of stuck in a rut of growing out of these, some of the younger programming. And one is like to follow their interests cross genre. And this is like a super easy one. Like if you don't want to look things up and are tired, is that if there's a book that they like, see if there's a show or a movie version.
Yeah.
And this is like not even for quality. I'm admitting this is not really quality programming, but like Reed loves Pokemon, loves the card game, like really legitimately plays the card game and, you know, knows it inside and out. And so of course there's like a terribly animated Pokemon TV show. I don't know. Your boys probably watched it or something.
I kind of love this theme song though.
Yeah. Oh yes. We have well, that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up because when I say cross genre, like, type in Pokemon on Spotify and sure enough, there's an album of music.
Yeah. And we've played that yeah. on so many car trips,
okay.
the Pokemon and, or
and
like
I should jam out to the Poker Rap because.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's actually really good music. Another thing like the cross genre, sometimes you can cross, I don't know what we brands within that genre. So when my kids were really into Pokemon and they haven't been for a while, but they kind of right. keep getting, they kind of keep trying to get back into it.
Right.
And then they'll kind of forget about it. It's like they feel like they're a little too old maybe, like Owen and Will, but like they still want to play with it. right. every now and then. They were also really into, not Bakugan. It was another one in that same yeah. kind of like
anime. I know
anime.
There are others.
And I actually, one of them I thought was a great show. Like I would watch it and really enjoy it. It was clever. It had really yeah. funny little bits and the music was good. I'll have to think of it. And because sometimes that's another fun way, you right. know, like inspired by this
yeah.
game. It's like well, this other one.
Yeah, and that the Pokemon show, actually all three, the girls, one older and one younger, they all three love the show. It's the animation that's terrible, but
yeah.
I think the stories must be compelling enough. And so that's one, I guess, just tip is if your kid is really into something, see if there's a book, a show, a song, or a movie about it. And that's like the lazy parent's guide, I think, to like, you know, kind of following their interests a little bit and seeing what happens. And like you said, sometimes it's not half bad. And even if it's not like highbrow media,
right.
at least it's right in with what they're enjoying anyway, as opposed to just picking randomly from what's free on Amazon or whatever.
We also did that with Minecraft because the kids were really into Minecraft.
Yeah.
And then people started coming out with those parody Minecraft songs.
Okay.
And they're really good. I mean, I'm okay. not even joking. Like some of them are better than the original song. Some of them I know better than the original song at this point. But I mean, they're fun to listen to. We'll sometimes just put them on five or six of them in a row. And just jam out to them. And even the kids who aren't in our family who don't play Minecraft yet right. or weren't at the time, I guess everyone now has tried it at least.
Right.
Like when Clara was 3 or 4, that kind of helped her feel like she was part of something she wasn't yeah. really part of. It
that's
helped me
exactly
feel like I was part
is.
Of something I wasn't part of because
yeah.
I don't play
no,
Minecraft.
I mean, that's a really good example. And that's how Pokemon is in our house right yeah. now. It's like Violet knows the songs and like right. watches the show. And anyway. But then another tip I would say is to follow you or your partner's interests down to the level of kid appropriate media. So like Brian can nerd out on like science and technology all the time. And he's really good about coming home with like an article from Wired magazine or something he heard and like looking up videos of like the International Space Station or like things like that and getting the kids excited about it. So I guess that's another way to do it is the things that are naturally interesting to the adults in your house, find a way, like a kid appropriate way to watch a movie or a documentary together or, you know, pull up a bunch of videos on YouTube. And I feel like, you know, that's one of the benefits of living in the technology age that we
Absolutely.
Do is that there's a lot of great crossover. Like we can Google something that we're all interested in. And I think when kids see parents naturally interested in whatever they're naturally interested in, it's not that that's going to become their lifelong passion, but it's a way for the whole family to yeah. gather around it. So
right. Absolutely.
I just started watching this documentary about Misty Copeland, who's the African-American ballerina in the American Ballet Theater. And she's broken all kinds of great boundaries
yeah.
and is a cool person. And I watched the first 10 minutes and I was like, Allegra should be watching this with me. Not because she loves ballet or dance, but because it's a great story about, you know, a strong female. It has a lot of good messages. And so I think that's, again, it's a fun part of kids getting older is that you can include them in some of your own media, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, I think one complaint I've had for the last, I don't know, since my oldest kids became old enough to watch beyond cartoons, right? Beyond
right.
Caillou or whatever.
Right.
Is the lack nowadays of real, truly family programming. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when we were growing
yeah,
up, there
true.
Were family-oriented movies.
Yeah.
There was family television. And now the family TV is either a little too rough for kids
mm-hmm.
or a little too babyish or teenage-focused for adults, I feel,
right.
most of the time.
Right.
And movies have kind of gone the same way. It's hard to find something that really is that middle ground.
Right.
I don't know if it's because our standards have changed or because everything has become so segmented.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have to say movie musicals kind of beat
– yeah.
kind of like get around all that for me because everybody, maybe it's just because our family is a musical oriented family,
yeah.
but we'll all watch like Little Shop of Horrors or something like
right.
that and love it. And like 80s movies,
mm-hmm.
another great way because there was so many in those days. Like there was so
right.
many family films.
Right.
They did let through the cuss words a little more freely
yeah.
in the 80s. So if that's not really a big deal for me if I'm watching with the kids.
Right.
I can kind of keep an eye on it. But.
Yeah, it's not really either. I think back in our holiday episode, I just had a flashback. We talked about Home Alone and some of the other like holiday classics of like, you know, when your kids are now
yeah.
ready for those. And
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny what like what they're ready for. Like the cuss words don't bother me either. But like Home Alone, for example, I had forgotten how mean everybody is to each other in the beginning.
Oh,
of
yeah,
that
they're
family.
Terrible.
And
yeah.
My kids were really kind of too young for that still. Because even though it wasn't anything on paper that was inappropriate, I mean, other than just being mean, is it just was like shocking to them.
Yeah.
Way more than like robbers breaking into your house or like the machine gun, like the fake machine gun sequence was how mean, like the older brother, how scary he was. So it
right.
is, it's funny. But again, I'm really, my kids are even younger than we're talking about, I think, mostly for, but
you
know, yeah.
But that also can happen with any topic. And
totally.
Last week, Clara, John, and I watched Inside Out.
Okay.
And Clara could not handle it. Like,
Reed couldn't handle that movie either.
Couldn't handle
record.
It. And what it, I was like watching it thinking, what is, you know, what's wrong? And then I kind of put myself in her shoes and thought, she's so afraid of this girl getting embarrassed or this, mm-hmm. She was like so, she was emotionally distraught mm-hmm. and she didn't want to turn it off. Because she wanted to see what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But she was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I just know she's going to get really embarrassed. Oh, she's going to cry. Like, she just, like, yeah. she was freaked. Was that what Reed's?
You know, he saw it with, we didn't go. We sent okay. him with a family friend, which was probably a mistake. Again, I'm usually better about, like, vetting these things. But yeah. again, it's
Well, it's
Pixar.
A Disney movie. I mean, yeah. it's Pixar. Like, and everyone raved about it. So.
But again, he can watch. That's a good example of like different kids are sensitive to different things. He can watch battle scenes till for like 6 hours straight. I mean, age appropriate, but like dragons and fire and,
right.
and battles. But he like intense emotions are intense for him because he's an intense little guy. So I didn't see the movie. I just know he didn't want to talk about it. He never wants to see it again. And he was totally traumatized.
Yeah.
I'm curious if any listeners had kids because I know people love that movie and adults love that movie, Inside Out.
And I really kind
I heard
of
more
thought,
adults raving about it than I did.
Well,
kids.
And maybe that's a sign, you know, because yeah. what I remember hearing and what I really thought was it was a movie like that would help really emotional kids kind of
right.
handle their emotionality. And I'm not sure little kids picked up on that necessarily.
Right. And maybe
I think Clara was
of,
stressed
yeah,
the
exactly.
whole time.
I think it was super and super intense for Reed. So yeah, we just kind of let it drop, but he
yeah.
didn't want to tell me what was upsetting and yeah.
Well,
and
maybe he didn't even know, like he might not have even yeah. really been able to verbalize it. And Clara
yeah.
was just kept saying, this isn't fun, Mom. This isn't right. fun watching this. And I was like, okay, we can turn it off. You're like, well, no, I have to see now. So, cool. I mean, it's just like, if you know anything about it, and I'm not going to
yeah.
give any spoilers, but it's kind of like this little girl's emotions and how they
right.
play out in her brain essentially.
Right. Right.
And so there's, you know, because when one gets isolated from all the rest, that's when like it becomes stressful. Cause then
yeah.
you just see like, oh, there's a sad running around in her head. And
yeah.
like, there's, you
yeah.
know, it's, I don't know. It was kind of interesting. And then I kind of made it look a little joke, like, because the sad one, Clara's in this mood, and we don't have to get into Clara's emotional issues right now, but Clara's in this mood where, like, she's super negative all the time about stuff. Like, she can never say, oh, that was great. It's always like, I wish that hadn't happened because now I'm disappointed. I'm not doing it anymore. Like, just something like that. Always there's, like, a little negative
right.
spin.
Right.
So
right.
Now I kind of regret saying this, but there was this, you know, there's, like, this one character in the show, and I think her name is Sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, Clara, Sadness reminds me of you because she was such an Eeyore. Like, everything
yeah, yeah.
was, you know. And Clara, like, at some point looks at me and goes, you're right, Mom. I am Sadness. And then I felt terrible. Like, I went to, like, it's like a funny little joke just because she says a lot of those things. But I don't know. It was a good kind of learning moment for me, maybe not to be off the cuff with certain topics.
Right. Well, and that, yeah. No, I, amen. I hear
yeah.
you on that movie. I'm really curious now if our
listeners,
because
yes,
other than
hear
you,
people.
I've never talked to anybody whose kid had that experience or who had anything other than really good things to say about that movie. So
well,
there's probably other little Claras and Reeds out there that were traumatized.
You know, I didn't like Frozen either, neither did Clara. So maybe
That's
we're
funny.
Just weird.
I liked Frozen. I just think like the rest of the world, we got so sick of it so fast.
Maybe
and my
I just didn't like
did
it.
Too, so.
Maybe I just didn't like it proportionately to the rest of the world or something.
Right.
Yeah,
proportionate to the
It was
height.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay, well, I do want to shift into some other media. But before we do, I wanted to throw a shout out to the website Common Sense Media. Ooh. If you are listening
yes.
and you don't know what Common Sense Media, I think has been around for a long time.
It's old. Yeah, I've been using it since the boys were little.
Right. So you can look up. I mean, it's a search database. And they have articles and other resources. But I just use it like as a search database. And it will have really good descriptions of movies and TV, and I think other media too, but I use it mostly for movies and TV. It gives an age appropriateness based on what kids have said and based on what
yep.
adults have said, but more than that number, age 7 and up or age 9 and up, it goes really into detail into what you'll what you will encounter when you watch that, because certain parents are more protective over, like you said, language, or maybe it's like boy girl stuff and sex, or maybe it's
boobs. Like I know people who just like boobs are just the thing. They can't have those.
So, whereas like other people may be more relaxed in some areas. Yeah. Like I don't, you know, my kid's fine about that, but violence is really a trigger, whatever. Right. So it will give you really detailed, and then there's consumer reviews, and it's just really easy to search in high quality. So I'm a huge fan, and they have a mobile app too. I keep it on my phone because it's just it just looks easy on mobile too. So if you're like out and about or about to download something or something. So
and it's not judgy. That's what I like about it too. No, like there's no judgment implied. It's like they're not gonna say never take your kids to this movie. It's like here's what you'll encounter.
It's actually really, I think they're really well written reviews. Like sometimes it'll make me want, and a lot of it's also great to use if you're remembering a movie from your youth. Like we were talking about like with Home Alone and you have I think that would be a great movie, but I can't remember is there like this sex scene I forgot about or, you know? So I think it's good for that too when you're trying to maybe pulling out a nostalgia pick, but not sure what it's going to be. So
Yeah. Like the time I watched City Slickers with my kids because I had all these great memories of watching City Slickers with my parents. And then there's a sex scene in like the first minute. I think that's how the movie opens. And John and I were like, oh boy, should have looked it up. Should have Common Sense Media'd that one.
Common Sense Media.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So I want to talk about books and audiobooks a little bit. Cause we are in a really cool place right now where I have two independent readers, and it happened, even though they're 2 years apart, it really happened at the same time because Reed is really pretty advanced reader for his age. So they, both of them kind of got to that point where they're reading for pleasure and reading a lot, like reading, you know, chapter books and able to read, you know, almost anything that's meant for kids. Not anything, but you know what I mean? It's we're no longer in like level one, level two, level three. They can just read chapter books. And so that's awesome. And they're reading independently a lot, like just for fun or when they're bored or to go to sleep. So that's genius and wonderful. And if you've been reading aloud to your kids for the first several years and this is a good thing. It's a good thing. But it does mean that we're going through books really fast. So I just want to kind of throw out a couple things we've been doing. We do go to the library, but I'm a big fan of looking things up on the library before I go and reserving things. So if I know that they like sometimes they'll maybe bring home a book from school, the classroom library or the school library and like it. And then I'll go on and see if there's any others by that author or in that series and reserve them so that we don't just go in and wander around. Sometimes we go in and wander around, but I try to like pick up on something that they've liked and then see if there's a whole bunch more. Another thing that we do is sometimes not go to the library and go to a real bookstore. And I'd kind of forgotten because I don't want to buy all these books. Like sometimes they're just these series that they'll blow through. And I don't need that on my bookshelf. Of course I want the Little House books. And of course I want the Ramona books, but I don't need all of these books to own. But I kind of forgot that when you go to the actual Barnes and Noble, they have everything that's new and they tend to have like the sets in an order where you can see. And I have been so used to being a cheapskate at the library that I was like, oh my gosh.
I know it's much easier to choose things. I know. So, and it's just more visually appealing because they know what they're doing. Not that the library people don't, but you know what I mean? Like there's people who are paid to create these displays and they really do make a difference.
Exactly. So I think those are like two sides of the same coin. We've been using the library a lot because I don't want to just buy all these books. But on the other hand, once in a while, especially when they kind of graduate to this like new level of reading or like they're ready for more, the bookstore can be really helpful. And maybe you buy one or two books and then you go back to the library with the information that you got at the bookstore. But so I don't know. Do you have anything to add to the reading and book thoughts?
Gosh, you know, it's funny because in our – nothing very useful probably. I will say like the older kids, and this is another thing. It's like Owen was probably before he really – was ready for those books really going into the series. And I'm talking like the, not young adult series, but the kind of like medium, like Divergent and like those ones. And I think it's because the older kids were reading those. And so he wanted to read those and then he would kind of give it a shot and find out a little ways in. He would be the kid who would be like coming to report to me every time he turned a page, like, Mom, I'm on page, you know, 25. And I'd be like, okay, do you have any idea what the story is? You know, but to some degree, I kind of let him do that. Cause I thought, well, he's just, school is where he's got his Lexile and that's where, you know, they're going to pick the books out that are appropriate for his comprehension, but he's pushing himself and I'm not going to tell him no. I mean, I remember trying to read the Little House books when I was like 5 years old and I could read every word, most words,
right.
But I had no idea what was going on. And I remember my sister quizzing me at one point, and I was like, what? But that's okay. I mean, I went back and read him again a couple years later, and I was ready, and it was great. So I will say right now, Owen is finally really getting into Harry Potter. Like, he's kind of dabbled. He's seen the movies, but when he was really little. And I think he's forgotten a lot of the order.
Yeah.
And, you know, like how things actually played out. So now he's reading the books and loving it and talking about it all the time.
I think that's a perfect age. I think, I mean, I think before that, because that's, I mean, he's the age when, like, that the characters are in the first couple of books.
Exactly. I know there's people who've, like, kind of, I don't want to say brag, that's not the right word, but I know that I've heard from people whose kids, you know, 7 or 8 year olds were reading the Harry Potters, and they were, you know, kind of proud of that. And that's cute and that's fine. It's a big book, and it's, if your kid can read that, that's great. But I think sometimes we put a lot of focus on, like, are they reading these long books? And really, I would just assume they read something that they just enjoyed and got something out of. But again, I'm not going to deter them from something that's harder.
I think that's good. And actually, I want to say on the flip side that Allegra tends to read below her reading level when she's reading for fun. When I was saying earlier that that Allegra and Reed are into chapter books, they're definitely into, like, the early chapter books at the level of, like, the Magic Treehouse and Ramona Quimbys. And I don't think of them as, like, reading what am I talking about? Like, the step one, step two, step three.
Right,
definitely in, like, the – I think it's like ages 5 to 8 chapter books, those kinds of things. A to Z mysteries, ballpark mysteries. I don't know if your kids have been into any of those. But there's like, those kinds of series. So not harder than that yet. But what I was going to say is Allegra tends to read below her reading level when she reads for fun. She just doesn't like to work that hard.
I was just going to say about Clara. Clara does not like to work that hard at reading.
Yeah, and that's also okay with me.
Yeah, me
because
too.
I know that at school they're doing comprehension exercises and they're, again, they have the Lexile number, and we tend to read aloud to them at a much higher level. So Brian's still usually the read alouder to the big kids. But he will always read a book that either they can't quite read themselves yet, or they just aren't. It would just be more work than they're willing to do. So I think it's kind of fine either way. Whatever. Yeah,
me too. Whatever. And you know, one thing about that is I think that's where I feel like the good old picture book really plays a big role. And I'll tell you what, I was volunteering. We don't have, for whatever reason, we don't have a lot of the step one, step two type books in our house. And I don't know if that's just because I don't like the way they look.
Yeah, and we've talked about the licensed character thing. They tend
to be Yeah, but I'm talking about like those little thin ones that are kind of narrow. Yes. They're like, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I was volunteering in Clara's classroom and reading with the kids. And man, those books are boring a lot of the time. I'm not going to say all of them, but there's a lot where I think, why would a child want to sit down and read this? If I was this kid, I would much rather pick out a beautiful picture book with a few words on every page where, I don't know, I feel like there's obviously different ones. Like, I want to say even maybe Magic Treehouse might have like a level associated with it, right? I can't remember now off the top of my head, but like the ones I'm talking about, you know what I mean? It's like repetitive, same words over and over. The pictures are bad.
Yeah, when they're practicing like
boring.
A phonic theme or something.
Yeah, they look like somebody wrote them as like, you know, like they had an intern write them, not a writer write them or something like that. So, or an educator wrote them, which is great, but maybe not an educator who is adept at writing interesting stories for kids or whatever. Right. So there's been a lot of those where I'm like, oh, like they'll come in the house because my mother-in-law was a teacher for many, many years. And so she has a huge stockpile of those and they would kind of make it into the house and immediately just end up leaving the house again because I don't even want to read them. So why would my kid want to read them?
Right.
So I think sometimes like going down a step so that you can have like the full immersive book experience, even if that's a picture book, that's maybe technically a little too easy, has some value too. So
agreed. I thought I had a thought about more.
I thought I had a thought about
how to find these books, but it seems to have lost me. Oh, one note I did make is that I feel like the internet is a great resource in this area because kids' interests and level changes so quickly from say like first to fourth grade in reading. But there's so many bloggers and websites who do book roundups all the time that I don't even have one in particular I'm thinking of. I just feel like I always see headlines like, you know, great books for kids interested in adventure stories or great, like, you know, great books for girls ages 8 to 10 or whatever. So just, I mean, a little bit of Googling and with an eye for quality, obviously, can at least get you started. Because some part of the problem is like all of a sudden they're ready for different books and you just don't know what's out there other than, you know, we know Little House and we know Ramona, but there has been more written. Yeah. So I'll see if I can round up a few of our favorite series at this kind of, I would say both my kids are like third grade reading level probably.
But even if
you don't go with mine, it's an area I feel like that's written about a lot because people are always looking for new book lists. And yeah, I mean, some of our blogger friends, I feel like even do those kinds of roundups quite a bit. So
there was a catalog and was it Chinaberry? I know Chinaberry was a big one for a while, but had like really great descriptions of children's books in it.
Okay.
And I think sometimes that can be kind of fun too, especially if you aren't super fond of Scholastic catalogs.
Okay.
I am not super fond of Scholastic catalogs because my kids always want like the dumb SpongeBob book that has the toy attached or whatever.
That's how it is at book fair. We don't get the catalogs at home, but
They send them home. And I mean, they send home like so many. I don't know why we get so many. Like why, what is the variation? Like they'll come home all stapled together and there's a huge number of them. And I've also read that they are like really terrible deal for authors. The authors get a really bum deal if their books are in the Scholastic catalog. So I'm not going to say I'm totally a purist and that, you know, that I never will order from there, but we most of the time do not order from Scholastic. And, and I know the school gets like a kickback or free books or whatever. So I always feel a little guilty about it. But I'm looking at my computer right or on my phone right now. Yeah, I think it's Chinaberry is a catalog that has like, well, it looks like now they have tools and things and toys and things. And I think it used to just be books, but I want to say they had like really good descriptions of books. And if it's not Chinaberry and it's something else, please someone leave a comment and let me know. because it had like little stories almost that would describe the books and they were pretty great. So yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
So
Chinaberry. Good to know. We'll link to that.
We'll link and if you're like me, sometimes you still like getting real catalogs at home. I don't know.
I love it. Also, I mean, this may sound obvious, but I feel like it's a great area to just ask friends whose kids are a little bit older or a little bit farther along in reading. Just like we ask each other what books are good for us, is get recommendations on what people's kids are reading. Because it is just, if you just walk into the library or the bookstore, it's completely overwhelming. And kind of circling back to some of the media, movie stuff, there are things out there that they can read, but that maybe aren't appropriate or that, that they'd be just as interesting in something better. Ooh, and I did have one other thought. The biography series, Who Was or Who Is, have any of your kids been into those? Those are great for...
I mean, maybe, but I don't recognize the name.
But I think they're relatively new. So it's like... Okay. Who Was Rosa Parks?
Actually, Who Was Rosa Parks? I believe that book may have come home with one of my kids from the library in February. So,
So they're really, really well written. And Reed in particular is more of a nonfiction guy. He's literally been into science books since he was like two. But they're written like a story. And like Brian and I were totally into them because they're these people that we didn't really know that much about. But they're not a bore. Like I remember biographies as like doing reports in fourth grade and going and get a biography and just looking up when were they born, like, that kind of stuff. These are written really like a story. And they pull really cool anecdotes from the famous person's life. And and those could be a read aloud if you're still reading aloud to your kids or an independent reading kind of at this level. So that's another really good one I'll link to.
Can I take this opportunity to say, I think it's great for kids to be into nonfiction. And I don't think there's something wrong with your kid if they don't like fiction. I think that's like something that parents, especially parents who love literature, struggle with a little bit. Like, why doesn't my child like to read the books I read growing up? And some kids just want just the facts. And I went through phases as a kid where every time I went to the library, I would get like books out about baton twirling and cheerleading and stuff that were written like in the 60s. And they would say very, very hilarious things about, you know, personal hygiene and stuff. But I remember actually very clearly one saying something about like how if you had glasses and you wanted to be a what is a baton twirler called?
Not a marionette.
I know that's what a majorette. If you want to be a majorette and you wear glasses, that you should ask your parents to get you like contacts or something because like no one, you know, wants to look at a majorette with, it was like flashback city. But I wanted stuff like that. Like I wanted to know how to do things and I went through a long phase where that was pretty much all I read was like just nonfiction. And now today I read more nonfiction than fiction.
I do too. Almost exclusively nonfiction. And Reed is also, although he can still get into stories, but I agree. Basically follow your kid's lead. And I don't know. I'm like a library, like rah-rah library person. And you've said that you haven't been to the library in a while because you can't find the books that you need to return or something.
No, I finally found them and returned them and paid a very hefty fine. So,
oh, okay. So you're
back in.
You're in the clear.
Actually, now I think we're late again.
But I, like, for a while, someone told me that our local library is going to close because not enough people are using it. I know that's like, it sounds like the beginning of like a sad, but it like a documentary or something. But it's just not that hard to go in and like just a few times to get to know where the sections are and saves you so much money. And I've talked about the OverDrive app before that you can download audiobooks and ebooks. And now I'm sounding like a library spokesperson. But
no, I love the library too. I go back and forth. I like you. Well, we don't even live near a big bookstore anymore. I literally have not stepped foot in a Barnes & Noble in probably 6 or 7 years.
Oh, my.
There's just not one around me. But we have a really cute downtown, store. And I like to support them. So I'll buy a book there like monthly. And then I'll go in and browse sometimes and get ideas.
Well, small town, like independent bookstores are great too.
Yeah. Yep. But I want to support the library too. It's important. And, and I don't feel like it's not as, kids don't go on field trips to the library the way we did. I remember that going to like our city library because it was so much bigger than the school library. That was like a thing. And it's not as much of a thing anymore. And because kids can get media from so many places. But
that's right. That's true. And another thing I think that happens is that libraries are like such a core of being a new mom where you go for like horrible story time and horrible music classes. And then you keep taking them when they're toddlers and they pull books off the shelf. And like there's no point to any of it. And it's like, why does this library exist? So you almost have to get through that, take a break for a few years, and then trust us, go back when your kids can read and look for their own books and remember where the books are in the house. Like I just used to get like panic attacks even checking out books because I was like, I'm never going to find it. It's going to be under somebody's bed. But now we do pretty good.
when my kids were really little, my sister and I used to go, this was how we'd spend a rockin' Saturday afternoon. We would go together and one of us would stay in the children's section with the kids. And usually, this place happened to have toys and a train. So it wasn't like they were running and pulling all the books off. They were actually playing. And then the other one would get like an hour to just go wander. And I remember what a luxury that felt like in those days when I always had a kid hanging off of my leg just to be able to wander through the stacks and just look at stuff and not even really care what I found. I wasn't really necessarily looking for anything in particular. Just like quiet with a bunch of books. It was pretty heavenly. So that's another plan. You can always team up with a buddy if your kids are still little.
I like it. It's almost time to wrap up, but I wanted to just mention a couple more resources. We didn't get a lot of time to talk specifically about music. But you and I have both sung the praises of Spotify before. Yeah. I did want to mention that Spotify has audio stories. If your little kids like to listen to stories, they have. I'll link to it. But Spotify has a great collection of Disney, like the Disney movies, but just read as a story. And my experience with kids and audiobooks is that when they're littler, it's harder to pay attention or they get bored or they don't care if it's something they're not familiar with. But they'll listen really carefully if it's a story they already know. So like Cinderella, they've seen the movie. Violet will listen to that audio story on Spotify streaming in the car any day of the week, all day. So that's a really good. And again, if you're paying for Spotify, if you have a paid account, it's just there. And not everybody knows that because it's mostly music. And then another resource I wanted to mention was Cool Mom Tech, which is a sister site of Cool Mom Picks. And they do really good reviews of apps. Brian in our family is like the one who finds apps for the kids. They get to play on the iPad, like while Violet's napping on the weekend is kind of their time to just kind of do basically whatever they want on the iPad, free for all. And Brian's really good about finding new apps that are just interesting. It doesn't have to be like educational, but just like good games. And Cool Mom Tech they do good reviews of apps. So if you're, if you want to load up on some apps, that is a good resource. What else did I think those are some good places to start. And again, this will be kind of a links heavy show notes. So all of this will be at themomhour.com. Likely I will think of like 50,000 more things we didn't mention.
Well, Spotify also has, I want to mention really quick, you can have a family membership. Mm-hmm. And especially for the older kids, we've had a lot. I think you have up to 4 people. Do you guys have that? No, we don't. Well, you probably don't need it yet.
Yeah, we don't need it yet.
But for the older kids in our house, we all follow each other and we all have our own playlists. And it's actually kind of fun to share music back and forth. And it's just like a fun way to bond, especially with the older kids.
Yeah, I think that's great. And there's good new music out there. You and I have talked about both our husbands are into finding new bands, and I'm terrible about it. So I need people around me who will just
share. And once they share it with you, it's like then there's that easy access point. And I'm just laughing to myself while you were talking about all these apps and cool things about the fact that when my kids were little, we had a like an old fashioned Sesame Street cassette that I think I got at a yard sale. And that was like the soundtrack of my life for, I never even bothered to pop it out. It just played on a loop all the time. And things have changed a whole lot. So
no, I mean, honestly, it is great. And if you are listening to podcasts, obviously, because you're hearing us, but your kids aren't, I will link to a couple of, I still think there's a lack of a bunch of good podcasts for kids.
And they're hard to find. They're hard to find.
Very many. Yeah. But Brains On is our hands down favorite. It's a science podcast. And I think it's interesting. The kids love it. And it's fantastic. I've talked about it before on this show. But there's a couple others that are good. And I think they're starting to be more. So.
Oh, shoot. I almost forgot to mention when we were talking about YouTube. Some friends of, and I'm not sure if you've ever met them, but some friends of mine who I've known from blogging forever started a company called Kids Views. I think it's K-I-D-Z-V-U-Z.
Okay.
It's a little oddly spelled, but we'll put it in the show notes. And it's kind of like a safe YouTube for kids. So the kids create the content and then it's all monitored. And, you know, so you know that your kids are – and I think kids just like to watch kids do kids stuff.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's silly to us, but it makes a lot of sense.
Remember like the Double Dare shows and the, like, the shows with like people dumping slime on their heads?
Or remember like just recording yourself talking into cassette tape with your friends for half of an hour. And then you'd listen back and it was the most fun thing. Like, what? Why? But kids like to watch kids do stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's great that there's a sort of safe.
That's a good alternative if you're just getting in. It's a little limited, but it's – and it's also if your kid wants to create content, which my kids are suddenly really into that idea, but you're worried about them having it kind of just out there, it's like a safer little place for them to experiment too. So.
Well, that is a perfect segue to the final thing I was going to say, which is I really think that you don't have to – not everything's going to be highbrow, right?
No.
Like your kids are going to like really dumb – stuff. Yes. They're also going to want to read or listen or watch to the same thing over and over and over. Kind of, and not just when they're little. I mean, I think we know that about toddlers. They like the same book. But I think at all phases, it just gets ad nauseum. But it doesn't all have to be Laura Ingalls Wilder or whatever we've decided is like the perfect nostalgic literature that they'll turn out okay in the end. And we all had our like corny pop culture loves as you know,
and I still go back and read the same books yearly, like the same ones over and over that I've read a million times. And I mean, I just, it's a natural human thing. We have this connection to it or nostalgia. And I think for kids, it's so cute. And I'm watching my son who's 16 and Isaac is getting really into music. And I love the fact that he's listening to all the same bands I listened to when I was 16. Yeah. And I would just play like that one Pink Floyd song 8 million times because it was like the first time you were really listening to it and it was amazing. I kind of almost feel a little jealous sometimes because I don't know what it would take for me to have that level of love for a piece of music anymore.
Like
the attention span or the time required or just the novelty of like really hearing a really great band for the first time. I don't know. It's kind of a cool thing. And I'm enjoying watching that. That kind of unfold in my kids as well.
I love that. That's very cool. Yay. Well, I think we covered a lot of things.
We did.
If you listeners have favorite resources for where you find good stuff for your kids to watch or listen, or if we've forgotten anything, you can leave us a comment at the, the show is at themomhour.com. This is episode 46. You can leave a comment right there or you can email us hello@themomhour.com.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. We will be back next week with more.
Yep. All right. See you then.
Thanks, Megan.